Now, there's from The Man Who Stayed Alive, Christy Dignam, and you know the track because it's the one that has that those great lines. People come to see me self-destruct on stage, tickets for the circus and the masquerade, The Man Who Stayed Alive. Christy, good morning to you. How are you doing, Vic?
Good morning, Marty. Good. I'm doing good at the moment.
I'm so glad to hear your voice, and I'm so glad to have an opportunity to say to you, because I've said it to everybody else, that this is one of, this for me is one of the albums of the year. It is the most fabulous album this year, and we've been playing it.
I'm
playing it. Well, we're playing it. We're playing it here. I know you sometimes don't think you get much plays around the place, and but we certainly been playing it here.
And I know. Yeah, I know that. I know you've been playing. So
it's just gorgeous.
I appreciate that.
It's just gorgeous. Are you very proud? You must be very proud of it, though. Are you?
I am. I'm very happy with it. You know, it's because when you do. I mean, when I do Welcome with Aslan. Yeah. You kind of share the responsibility. So if the album doesn't happen, you can kind of blame her. Everybody shares the responsibility or whatever.
Yeah.
So with this, I was really nervous. I was totally out on my own. And, you know, so it was great. It was great to do. And it was great working with Don Mescal. He's an amazing songwriter. So
isn't he really good? Like, he really just seems to kind of push the button. And then with your emotion into the songs, it just seems to work.
Yeah, we worked a couple of years ago with a song called Too Late for Hallelujah.
Yes,
and I've always worked well with Don. So basically, what he'd done was he read the autobiography. He kind of done loads of research, and he'd ring me in the middle of the night and say, "Well, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that?"
Are you serious?
So he really went into my head and kind of, you know. So it was great. It was great working with him. It was, as you said, then when I got the songs, I kind of fine tuned them down. When he'd come back and very open relationship.
Yeah, and make them your own, because the point is,
yes.
Okay, he's written them, but you're the voice and you're the person, and people are saying, well, there's Christy giving it the Christy treatment, which is what matters altogether, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see, by the way, you've recovered from the Lucy Kennedy experience. That was a great watch.
Yeah. Lucy was great. She's a warrior, you know.
She's
very nice as well.
Well, she's very, do you know what it is? She's very genuine. And I think that, and I don't know if it was your illness or what, but I think that has kind of, in terms of what I get the sense of you, is that you've no time for nonsense now. You couldn't be bothered with nonsense. Am I right?
Well, that's it. One thing about when you get a condition like mine, you prioritize things, you know, and you don't have time for the bull, you know, so...
No.
Yeah.
No, but it seems very obvious. And then, of course, you had a lot of loss with your dad and everything, and I couldn't get over you're talking about the dog. Oh, that was the saddest thing.
Yeah. No, I had Jack, right? So Jack came, I mean, he was on Mr. Kennedy, but he came everywhere with me. As soon as I take the keys of the car out, he'd be jumping through the window of the car to get into it. So he came everywhere with me.
Yeah.
I had him for, I think, 14 years or something.
Oh.
So with my father, you know, he was in a home, and he had dementia. So I remember thinking, if I'd have videoed my father in the home, and I could have travelled back in time and said, look, Dad, this is where you're going to end up. He'd have said, shoot me, please don't let me go into a place like that.
Sure.
So it was kind of, it was a release for him, you know, where with Jack, I was just devastated. I couldn't eat for 2 or 3 days. I couldn't sleep. It was just terrible.
Isn't it amazing the bond you form with a dog like that he just...
Absolutely.
It was
like one of my kids dying, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? It's funny.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, the sense of emptiness when he's gone. That's the thing, isn't
it? Well, and then I said to Catherine, I said, look, I'll never get another dog again. I said, I couldn't put myself through that.
Yeah.
Then about 3 or 4 days later, the house was like a morgue. So I ended up going into Limerick and getting another dog. No,
what did you get?
A Yorkshire Terrier again. So her name is Holly. I got a girl.
And she's called Holly?
Yeah.
Ah, that's lovely. Well, and she's not just for Christmas.
No. But I mean, for a while, she'd do things like, I know, Jack, get away from you. But then I got to love her in the end.
Of course you did. Listen, I want to take another track from the album. One of the favourites of mine, I Can't Imagine. I think it's a great song.
Yeah, that was, I remember thinking when we had that finished, it was a real kind of... people that play at weddings and stuff like that.
Yes.
But, you know, when I got the album, I put on here, when the first got it back, and he's still in contact with me. There's not a bad track on there.
No, there isn't.
Every track on there is good. So I'm glad you feel that, because I felt that way about it. And it was only a couple of weeks ago when I had to go to Tala to get a tour. And myself and May put the album on, because I hadn't listened to it for a while.
Yeah.
And he was saying to me, actually, he said that album hasn't got the success it deserves. So I'm glad that at least somebody has recognised.
Oh, it's terrific.
I'm really happy with it.
And you see, what's great about it is, you know, like the stuff coming out all the time. What I loved about this, and again, can I just make the boring old point that I keep making? I have a physical CD, right? As a result, I'm listening to it like a proper album, like we used to back in the day. So I'm
that's the thing.
And I'm reading the lyrics and I'm following the tracks. And you and Don, I presume, put the tracks in a certain order for a reason.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can't get that on Spotify. It's great, but you can't get it.
No, I know. That's the thing, because now what people do is they pick track 1, 6, 5 or whatever like that. And we were very conscious of that when we were doing the album. Because sometimes you mightn't like the second track, but when you're listening to the first two tracks to get to the tour track, then you start liking the second track. And
exactly.
It keeps changing all the time.
Exactly.
So we are very conscious of that. But what I want, the reason I let Don take over the lyrics, you know, I listen to a lot of bands now, Marty, and there's some great bands coming out of this country.
Sure.
But I found sometimes a band will come on the radio, and it could be 1 of 5, it could be 1 of 10 bands with a singer. The singers, they all seem to use the same phrasing and the same synthetic sounds and stuff. So I wanted to kind of do something that was just a nod to the traditional vocals, like that we used to listen, like the Beatles and David Bowie.
But there's a real Beatle feel off some of these tracks. There really is.
Yes.
What
happens is, if you know, Marty, as you're growing up, you take in all these influences.
You do, of course.
And we're fortunate that we had all those bands to listen to. And
that's right. That's
because
right.
I look at what's coming out today and I wonder, will I be listening to this song in 10 years' time, or will I be playing this song in 10 years' time? And I don't know. Sometimes I don't think that we will.
Yeah, I know, because it's disposable. It's disposable, that's the point. Because as a fellow said, as long as you have a good song, it stays a good song. It never changes,
One of the things we had, I remember talking to Freddie Mercury's his boyfriend a couple of years ago, and he was saying when Queen were making a song and making a record, he'd come up with a song and Freddie Mercury would bring it into the kitchen of the studio and he'd go through it on an acoustic guitar, and if it didn't work with just a vocal on an acoustic guitar,
that's brilliant.
That's what we've done with this. Every song on it, you could just sit with an acoustic guitar and play them, and it's still there, you know.
Because
if it's not there, people put on all different, you know, different things into the song to kind of make it a better song.
Yeah.
But if it's not there with a vocal and a guitar, it's usually not there.
No, it's not there. But your voice is so strong on the album. Thank God.
Yeah, it's great. But I think a lot of that had to do with, because it was during the pandemic, I wasn't out gigging constantly.
I love the line, and I can't imagine that. Did you put this in? Every day you make me feel complete, you're the bright side of the street. That's lovely.
That was my at the end. I just wanted it to resolve the song at the end.
Yeah.
So I rang that was my bit that I put in at the end. Yeah.
It's a gorgeous line. Is that for anybody in particular, should I ask?
Well, you know yourself.
Of course it is. For God's sake. Here it is. Yeah. This is I Can't Imagine from Christy Dignam.
Everything I knew about turned upside down and inside out. You came along and took me by surprise. What you mean to me? Now I realize it's like seeing every color for the first time, being thrown a lifeline. I was out there lost without a trace, but for your amazing grace. Impossible to get through a day without. complete. You're the bright side of the street. You're the only truth I'll ever need. The one I want to lean on. Oh, now I can't imagine a life without you. I can't believe I would ever want to be counting down the hours. Impossible to get through a day without you. I can't
there's Christy with The Man Who Stayed Alive, Christy Dignam, the album, which I've been waxing lyrical about for ages and ages and ages. Have you, listen, are you going to be on a stage in the not too distant future?
Yes, well, we're doing a couple of gigs, but we're having to do two gigs for the price of one kind of thing, you know.
Oh, I know, the 50% thing, yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully in the new year, I want to do a solo. I want to do the album myself in the new year, so to get a new band together and do that.
Is this an absolute plan, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, totally. It's going to happen. So, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that had the album. Because the album, when it was released, I think it went in at number 7 in charts.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
so it did well initially. So there's a lot of people that have been getting in touch with me, asking me to do it live. So.
Oh, that'd be terrific. I'd love that. You better give Don Mescal a few guitar or something to play in the background. You know, handy. No, he's handy enough, though, apparently, he says himself.
He's great, yeah.
Now, listen, Song for Catherine is the song that people have kept talking about, as you know, Yourself and Herself.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do a song in the kind of traditional ballady type of thing.
Yeah.
And initially I started an album with Finbar Fury, and I worked on it for about a year or so. But then Finbar kind of had his own health issues, and I had my health issues. So sure. The album never got finalised.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put one song on it that had that kind of traditional feel, and that's why the song for Catherine. That's why it's kind of different to the rest of the album.
And did you get a chance to hear Finbar Fury's last album?
Yes.
Wasn't it phenomenal?
Yeah, Finbar's brilliant. I mean, even when we were doing the album, we picked out all the songs we were going to do on the album.
Yeah.
But every day, we'd be going in to do, we say we're going in to do Brace or something like that.
Yeah.
And Jim, I said, oh, no, because I wrote this song last night. And he's like an 18-year-old. Like, he still has that enthusiasm.
It's incredible.
And he came in with a song on the back of a cigarette box.
But he came in to us, obviously prior to all the COVID carry on. He came in to us and he sat down. And I said to myself, we'll see if he'll talk. He never stopped talking. He's full of stories.
That's the thing with Finbar. We'd go into the studio, right? We'd have maybe 4 hours, and Finbar would come in and he'd start talking about whatever, some random subject.
Yes.
And that would be it. We'd get about an hour's work done, and it'd be three hours yapping.
But he's gorgeous.
He's a great man for the story. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And he's great. Like, he's had such a wealth of experience.
Well, that's
some great stories.
That's true. And when you think back to things like when we were Sweet 16 and the success of all that, just gorgeous. But I'm glad. Yeah. Well, is there any chance that you might team up yet, do you think? Do you think into the new year?
Yeah. I mean, the album should be finished eventually, you know.
Yeah.
It's just then, what happened then, the pandemic kicked in then and we couldn't go back into the studio. So, hopefully we will get it finished because the album we did was brilliant. We did a version of The Green Fields of France.
Oh,
I had that. And we done the Sally Garden for a couple of songs like that.
Yeah,
it was really beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Great.
So hopefully we got it finished.
Listen, I read recently, and I thought it was lovely, where you basically said when you wake up in the morning, you just go, "Great, I'm here. Away we go again." You're grabbing life, obviously. That's the attitude to it.
Yeah, and you really enjoy it because you know everything you do. You know everything I do now. Even when Christmas coming now, you're thinking, "Oh, this could be your last Christmas." So you really have to kind of grab it, as you say, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You just don't know. Because about a couple of years ago, we were doing a gig in Limerick with Aslan, and I was getting a photograph of these people, and this woman came in, and she was coughing, kind of stuttering beside me. Anyway, within 2 days, I picked up the cold off. Within 2 days, I got sepsis.
Crikey.
And I went to hospital, my kidneys were failing, my heart was failing, and he just barely got me through. And I remember talking to the nurse after, and she said, "Had you come in 12 hours later than you did," she says, "you wouldn't have been able to bring you back." So it mightn't necessarily be the cancer that kills me, it could be something like that, you know.
I understand. So you have to be careful. You have to be so careful.
You have to be very careful. It was a pandemic. I remember ringing me, how did cancer affected me? It kind of stiffened my heart muscle. So my heart is working at about two-thirds of its capacity now.
Right.
So I rang a cardiologist when the pandemic started. And at the time, we were talking about the coronavirus. Remember back in the
day? Yes, yes.
So I rang him and I said, "Look, this new coronavirus thing." I said, "What will happen if I get this?" He said, "Listen, Christy, we found the strain that it puts on your lungs, strains your heart, so you won't survive it." He says, "Do everything in your power not to get this."
Right.
So I was absolutely terrified, but until I got vaccinated and stuff, you know.
Sure.
In fact, a friend of mine just died yesterday of the COVID.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's surreal the way the world is going.
It is, it is. And can I ask a question? Were you able to get vaccinated?
Oh, absolutely.
And boosted. But you're not going out. You can't take the risks.
No, I can't. That's what I'm saying. So initially, I kind of go to the shops now, but I'm all masked up and all that.
Sure.
But initially, I couldn't move outside the house. When they were cocooning, I totally cocooned, you know.
Well, look, it's one of those things. People want you to be the man who stayed alive, because we all have great respect for you and great fondness, and you know that. And we'll keep playing you on the radio, my friend. And I hope you'll get a chance to sit in front of us one of the days, and we can have a proper chat when you're able. You know.
Absolutely, and thanks for all the support.
Not at all. And we love the album. And to see that on a stage, Christy, would be wonderful. It really would be wonderful. Yourself and Don Mescal and anybody else that you can bring along. I'm going to finish with Song for Catherine. Listen, I'll say Happy Christmas, Christy, and thank you so
much. Happy Christmas to you.
Thank you,
Marty. It's always a pleasure. God bless. Bye-bye.
Keep strong, my friend. God bless you. Take care,
Cheers.
Christy.
Thanks
a lot.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Here
Bye-bye.
He is. This is Christy Dignam with Imelda May and Song for Catherine. That was lovely.
The moment I foresaw your face, my love, that night I couldn't sleep or close my eyes. A picture stayed inside my mind, my love, and when I woke, I felt you near. See, I was captured by your smile, my love.
When we walked down Grafton Street, I held your hand as you leaned into me. I could hardly catch my breath. I could hardly speak a word to you. And all that I'd have said is that
in the morning on RTE Lyric FM.